This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens' five-game winning streak came to an abrupt halt in Cleveland this past Sunday, 29-24. So many ways to look at it, mainly from the negative side, I guess, if we want to go there. But defensively, Ravens going up against the Browns offense that did not rate high in a lot of statistical categories. They did have a new quarterback. Did he make all the difference? I don't know. Let's find out together. Vinny's film study, Ravens D.
I thought overall that the Ravens, you can say on both sides, all three phases really, didn't match the intensity of the Browns. I thought the Browns played a lot harder, more aggressive than the Ravens did on both sides. And now defensively, thought a big problem was the defensive line. And the problem was Travis Jones is playing on one leg. He couldn't hardly push off. He only played, I think, 20 snaps. And then Brett Urban gets a concussion on the first series, so he goes out. So then you're limited there. Then Michael Pierce pulls a calf. All right, so then you lose both your nose tackles, so you're hurting there. So basically you had Matabike and Broderick Washington having to play almost every snap, which is not a recipe for success. And I thought they didn't do – I was shocked at how well the Cleveland offensive line handled the defensive line. I mean, they could run the ball. Our guys didn't get off – or the Ravens guys didn't get off blocks very well. And – got no pressure on the quarterback. That was one of the biggest issues. You know, and the left tackle, 79, it was his first time ever. He was a right tackle, a backup right tackle, and he's playing left tackle and can't get a sniff. You know, and then the right side, all of a sudden, Conklin turns into a Pro Bowl, you know, pass blocker. I mean, ridiculous, some of the things that were going on. I mean, you know, Kyle Van Noy, he was close a couple times. You know, he had, you know, a nice move or two. But Owe had nothing. Nothing. I mean, just going straight down the cylinder. I mean, use your speed. You got a big old dude over there. Use your speed. Get him to move laterally or something. And Tavius Robinson, I mean, he plays hard. He plays the run well. And Ngakoue, he had one where he came around on a stunt, came up inside and hit the quarterback.
Got himself a half a sack.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it wasn't much there. And problem was, too, was on the blitzing, you know, they would bring five a lot of the times. And a lot of it was picked up, and he had all day to throw. And the other problem was the secondary was playing soft. What I mean was off. They weren't. You know, if you're blitzing and you're attacking and you're coming after the guy, get up in their face. There wasn't anybody that we were afraid of. you know, wide receiver-wise, get up and challenge them like they did Buffalo. And just playing off coverage. And I think Brandon Stevens is not a good off coverage guy. And then Armour Davis, first game back. So he's playing soft and just pedaling and giving up everything in front. And I'm sure they probably told him, hey, just don't get beat deep. And he didn't. He didn't get beat deep. But on the and the linebackers, you know, they had, what, four tackles each, something like that. And the problem there was the offensive line, they had clear shots at the linebackers because had no D lineman taken two, and they had a direct B line, and the linebackers, you know, weren't getting off the blocks and stuff. So that was not good. And then the dropped interception. We're having a totally different discussion all week long if they catch the interceptions, period. Just catch the interceptions, it's total. But they're not making plays. They're not making plays. And you know what? The stars aren't standing up. Your star has a chance to close the game. I mean, your first team Pro Bowler, they throw it right to him, a slow pitch softball to him, and he drops it.
They're jamming him.
Yeah, your best player. You know, so if your best player can't make plays at crunch time, you know, who's going to? So, I mean, that was a lot of the issue. Did the defense play well? No. But could they have played well? Yeah, if Eddie Jackson intercepts that ball in the end zone, he intercepts the ball down the middle of the field, and Kyle Hamilton intercepts that ball, the Ravens are winning, you know, probably by double digits. So, you know, now all of a sudden we're watching Jameis Winston. He's the greatest thing. But they'll play their next game on Saturday or Sunday, and they'll catch him, and it'll be like same old Jameis.
To your point, Kyle Hamilton makes that play. And by the way, watching it 50 times now, he dropped it three times. I got it, he dropped it. He like literally dropped it three times in one play. If he catches it, not only do the Ravens win, Cleveland fans are like, well, Jameis Winston, that's what he does for you.
And then you know what? Then Cleveland's done. They're done. Now they're excited. I'm going to pick them to win on Sunday. But, you know, the big point is, you know, Eddie Jackson's not your star. He's a fill-in. He drops it. Okay. But my best play, Ed Reed catches that with one hand. You know, I mean, that's the type of thing is
Kyle Hamilton does it 9 out of 10 times, yeah. Problem.
Big games, big players. I mean, just like we were talking about with the Orioles, you know, I mean, hey, in those critical situations, you got a chance to win the game. You're the best player. You know, Gunnar Henderson, you got to get that 2-out hit. You know, same thing. Kyle Hamilton, you got to make that play. I mean, Lamar's making, they get backed up 50-some seconds ago. Lamar's making bam, 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 right down the field. You know, so best players got to show up at those crunch times.
But with the defense, couple games into it now, when what you've seen on film, the Dean Pease advisory role. So what's the difference between an advisor and an actual play caller? I mean, is he advising to that point or is influencing their scheme and all of that?
Oh, no doubt.
Then he's more of an advisor.
Oh, no doubt.
More than an advisor.
Yeah. I mean, when we had Bill Arnsberger as an advisor, Bob, he was pretty much running the defense. So I'm guessing Dean Pease is pretty much running the defense. And watching that game, it looked like a Dean Pease-type defense where it's preventative, you know. So, I don't know. But Dean Pease would say, hey, if Kyle Hamilton caught that ball, we're kneeling down and we're winning. I mean, that's
kind of a famous line. Yeah. If Jordan Howard doesn't rush for that 90-yard touchdown, we hold him to less than 90 yards rushing. Whatever. But a disappointing performance nonetheless as we finish it off.
Disappointing performance because, you know what? Your stars didn't play well. Roquan didn't play well. Kyle Hamilton didn't play well. So, you know, and probably the biggest disappointing thing is the pass, they just let Jameis sit back there.
Where's
all day
Matt Ibike with the pass rush here?
Yeah.
13 and a half sacks last year. He's got two.
Yeah. And, you know, we thought he would get maybe like 10.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't going to get 13 again, but roughly 10. Now he's sitting at 2. Probably on pace for, what, 5 right now?
Yeah. away for all the criticism he takes. He has 4.5.
When was the last one? Well, he had one against Tampa.
It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about the offense coming up around 12:45 or so. Stay tuned for that. But when we come back, it's the whip around. What happened in the world of sports last night? Plenty is hockey in the NBA well underway. You got college football. You got the college basketball about to tip off. So plenty to get into. Then it's the news from the notes segment. Old Scott Petrek had to tap out. No, hopefully everything's cool there. But Richard Skinner is going to be joining us, covering Cincinnati. Talk about a team having a rough season. WKRC. In Cincinnati. Now, KRP, KRC, Channel 12. He'll talk about the Bengals' latest struggles, and then Will Graves. Steelers have a bye, but they're in first place. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers sitting at 6-2, and Najee Harris, don't look now, he's rushed for 100 yards 3 games in a row.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bro.
Vinny and Haney's whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. You wouldn't get in, you can at 410-583-1057. News from the notes coming up. News from the north, excuse me, coming up at the bottom of the hour. We go to Pittsburgh and we go to Cincinnati because Cleveland tapped out on us today. You know, hopefully everything's cool. Old Scott Petrak, because I was waiting for him to come in. And Scott's a guy that doesn't pop off too much. But right. If you're ready to pop off, today would be the day here on The Fan. But maybe some other time. But in the world of sports last night, about the NHL, the Capitals taking on the New York Rangers. Washington coming off their first loss in a while. Taking on a team that's one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And it turned out to be an exciting extravaganza. And maybe the best goal scorer of them all added to the tally a couple of times.
There's a really good future in front of this kid. He's got good hands, he hits hard, and he can score.
Jonas gets free. Score!
ESPN on the call, 5-3. Final scores, the Caps hold off the New York Rangers. Ovi, Alexander Ovechkin, 2 goals last
night. Yeah, Ovi had 2 goals in the first. Caps were up 3-1. It was an exciting game because it was like Caps scored, then the Rangers scored. Caps were up 3-1 after one, and then the Rangers got 2 in the second. The Caps got 1, so they're up 4-3 going into the third. And the only scoring in the third was the Caps got an empty netter. Otherwise, it was pretty damn good game. And Caps outshot them 45-19. So, I mean, the Caps were peppering the Rangers. They were on attack. That's the best I've seen the Caps play. They were playing extremely well. And Ovi, yeah, Ovi's shot was working last night. So it was all good in Capland last night.
Capitals 6-2 in the year. They will host the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night. Montreal right now 4-5-1. One of the young season.
Yeah, Montreal's kind of still rebuilding. So, I mean, it's a game that if the Caps play to their level, you know, they should win. And the Caps been, you know, Logan Thompson played last night, who they got from Vegas, and, you know, he had a pretty good game last night. And, you know, because that's a high power scoring team over there at the Rangers. They got a lot of dudes that can shoot the puck.
NBA last night, only four games, but of local interest, Sacramento 113-96 over Utah. I think the Jazz are going to have a long year in 2024-25. But Domantas Sabonis, 28-11-4 in the win for the Kings. Kevin Huerter is playing well as of late, 14-5. Alex Len, both former Terps, he had 2 points, four boards. The Wizards coming up their first win of the year, winning at Atlanta. Host the Hawks tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off down in D.C. Big Ten football, a couple of games to keep an eye on as we head into the weekend. And there are plenty of matchups, which we'll talk about over the next couple of days. We just talked about this with Damon. Maryland's off. They're at Oregon next week. Oregon's at least 28-point favorites, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no doubt. Oregon's really, really good, and the Terps are not.
And Maryland struggled with Billy Edwards, a couple of picks. Can't run the football. Lose in the trenches. I mean, Ty Felton will get his because it is what it is. But, you know, as Damon told us, you know, getting into a bowl game, you can't sneeze at it. But 6 years into the program, I mean, just hoping to eke in at 6-6 again, absolutely not where
you
want to
be. The only
way
they eke in, Bob, is they got to upset somebody.
And where is it coming from?
I don't know.
I mean, is there a guarantee?
Iowa would be the, you know, well, Rutgers is probably saying this is our bowl game, too.
Exactly. Penn State's playing for possible number one this, that, and the others. They've got Ohio State, which we'll talk about week going on. Speaking of which, Ohio State at Penn State. Buckeyes 3.5-point favorites in Happy Valley there.
That's Eller, the quarterback for Penn State. Game-time decision. I don't know. He hurt his knee last week, so that'll be interesting. I mean, it's not like Ohio State played great last week at home against Nebraska. So, yeah, and it's going to be 110,000 crazy fans there at noon kickoff. Bob, they got the Fox people are there before the game, ESPN's there. So it's a 3-4. And if I'm a betting man, Bob, I'd probably take Ohio State too.
It's a monumental matchup. And look, Ohio State took advantage of a freshman quarterback, Raiola, making mistakes on the road.
And I'll say this, Bob, is, you know, this is a game that James Franklin's got to win. He wins 10 every year, but he can never beat Ohio State or Michigan. And now he's got to beat Ohio State. He's got to get, for him to get over the hump, he's got to win one of those. And they don't play Michigan this year. And they don't play Oregon.
Speaking of Oregon and Michigan, they play each other in Ann Arbor Saturday. Oregon 14.5-point favorites. Dylan Gabriel and crew.
I think it's
going to
be worse than that, Bob. I mean, Michigan can't score. That's the problem. And they have good defense, but you can only hold up so long.
We'll talk about the World Series with Jim Hunter coming up in about an hour. But if you missed it, the Yankees win 11-4. You can hear the games here on the Fan Game 5 coming up tonight. Anthony Volpe showed a picture of him on SportsCenter this morning at their last World Series parade. 2009. He was this little teeny tiny kid like Nolan was back in the early days. But Volpe hits a grand slam. Yankees break out the sticks. Torres and Wells go deep also. As Freddie Freeman's homer to four straight games. It's insane. But we'll talk about it with Jim Hunter. Flaherty and against Cole tonight. It was almost like the Dodgers tapped out yesterday because they didn't go deep into the bullpen with the studs. They went with the bullpenning scenario and still were leading early in said game, but going for the closer tonight. Either it ends in the Bronx or it goes back to Chavez Ravine. So stay tuned. We'll talk to Jim about that one as well. It's the Whip Around Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Maryland basketball men, they start Monday against Manhattan. Talk more about that with Walt Williams tomorrow. This day in sports history, it's October 30th, 1974. In Kinshasa, Zaire, the rumble in the jungle.
Oh.
Muhammad Ali, one of the big upsets in the history of boxing. As great as he was, and in my opinion, he's the greatest heavyweight champ of all time. He was the author of two of the biggest upsets in heavyweight history. Beat Sonny Liston as a big underdog to win his first title. 10 years later, beats the unbeatable George Foreman. Rope-a-dope, that became part of our lexicon. Eighth round knockout, George Foreman losing the heavyweight belt to Muhammad Ali. That happened 50 years ago.
Wow.
Tonight. On a Wednesday afternoon, I remember getting on the bus, the yellow school bus, not the short one, the long one. I was living in Laurel. Shout out to Margaret Edmondson Elementary, no longer around. And it was the big talk. Like we were talking about a couple of, hey, Ali B. Foreman.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, because I thought George Foreman was going to knock Ali's head into next week. And he got rope-a-doped. He got knocked out himself. Half knockout, half I was tired and just wanted to lay down for a couple of seconds. And he got counted out. And that was all she wrote. But 50 years ago, get the bleep out of here. How about this? 13 years ago at M&T Bank Stadium, Ravens beat the Arizona Cardinals 30-27. Ray Rice had three touchdowns. Nolan, you might actually remember this one better than I do. Billy Cundiff kicked three field goals.
Oh, nice.
Including the game winner at the buzzer. Billy Cundiff, just a couple months later, he'd be run out of Baltimore, or wanted to, as the Ravens stunned the Arizona Cardinals 30-27, 13 years ago today. We'll come back, talk about the modern-day Ravens and the rest of the AFC North. Notes from the North coming up next. Then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. It is Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns.
Toss down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. What? Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
1057 The Fan. Let's travel around the division as we do every Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We've been on the whammy lance about the Ravens for the last couple of days, and rightfully so, but in Struggle City in Cincinnati this 2024 season as well. Let's go to WKRC Channel 12. Let's welcome back to the show Richard Skinner. Richard, good morning. Thanks for joining us here. And, you know, Bengals, like the Ravens, big expectations going into this 2024 season. And for whatever reason, Cincinnati not living up to them. It looked like they were close to getting a 500. Did not happen. What in the wide world of sports went wrong against the Eagles this past weekend?
Yeah, and it was a common theme for most of us to write columns after games. And mine was along the lines of, you know, the players and Zach Taylor all talking about weren't good enough in this area today, weren't good enough in that area today. And my point was maybe you're just not good enough, period. I think that's the sobering reality at the moment. This roster is just simply not good enough. The four toughest games they've played, Baltimore being one of those, Kansas City, Washington, which has turned out to be obviously a very good team, and then Philadelphia, all with winning records, all would be in the playoffs if they started today. Bengals are 0-4 in those games. And I don't think that, you know, that's not bad luck. That's it. You could argue it was because of the missed field goal against Baltimore. You know, Butker makes a field goal late against Kansas City. But bottom line is you're 0-4. And they have no answers on defense against good offenses. The offense has sputtered the last 3 weeks. In two of those, they won. But the offense has not done much of anything of late. They didn't play this last game without T. Higgins. They're 0-3 when he doesn't play. Maybe it's just not a very good roster. And that happens in this league. All of a sudden, you wake up one day, you think you have a Super Bowl window. And you don't if you're not run very well.
Hey, Richard, let me ask you, speaking of that, you know, you're talking about 0-3 without T. Higgins, you know, and Chase is there. Does that give them any indication that, hey, you know, maybe, you know, we should change our thinking and try to sign him to a deal because we play so much better when we have those two?
Yeah, I do think it's in the realm of possibility. I would have told you that their plan, you know, in the offseason when they tagged him was let's just get through the year with the tag. Maybe tag him and trade him and be done with it. But I think it's coming to fruition that they haven't even found a third wide receiver yet. So when T doesn't play, you're down to Jamar Chase. And he had 9 catches on Sunday for 54 yards because the coverage all goes his way. And the other wide receivers on the roster combined for 2 receptions on 8 targets. So it does tell you the value of T. Higgins. The question is, can you pay can you pay Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and have enough money to fix this roster? Because that's the other thing this offseason. They got to find fixes on the defensive front. Yeah, maybe they probably need a fix at corner. They may need to remake part of the safety room because Von Bell has looked long in the tooth, and Jordan Battle, a young guy, has not played very well. Geno Stoney hasn't played very well, but I think is at least in the near plans. But they've got a lot of fixing to do, and you need money to do that, especially when you're not hitting on draft picks, and they're not doing that of late.
Hey, Richard, I'm guessing it's a must win, because if you would lose Sunday, is there any assets that they could trade off? Because if they lose Sunday, they're pretty much done and 0-5 at home.
Yeah, I think you have to listen to trade offers for T. Higgins. You may have to listen to trade offers for Trey Hendrickson. He's under contract next year, and he's played great. But don't forget, if you remember back right before the draft, he demanded to be traded. It was a weird demand because he had no leverage point to demand the trade. And within a week, that kind of got rescinded of, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask for a trade. But obviously it's in the thought of his mind. So I think you have to think it. But this organization doesn't do those kinds of things. It doesn't trade for help. It doesn't trade away assets that they can get them more assets. They feel like standing pat. And to your point, yeah, if they lose this Sunday, you'd have to sweep Baltimore and the Chargers in road games and back-to-back heading into the bye just to be sitting at 5-6 and then still have an uphill battle the final six games. So, yeah, that should be in their line of thinking, but I don't think it is.
Richard Skinner, WKRC 12, Channel 12 in Cincinnati. Richard, last thing for you. Why did they let Joe Mixon walk again? I can't remember their rationale.
One of the great quotes that stuck with us last year, we talked to the coordinators a couple times a week. It's kind of an intimate setting. And Brian Callahan, now the head coach at Tennessee, about midseason, we're asking about the run game issues. And he said, listen, guys, I'm just going to be point blank. We get what's blocked and not much more. Joe Mixon looked like he'd lost some punch in this running game. He didn't make people miss. He didn't run through tackles. He is a good fit in Houston. He's a good fit for their scheme, and he's done well when healthy. They were more than prepared to move on from him because they just didn't think he gave them what they needed in the running game. And like a lot of decisions of late, letting Jesse Bates walk at all, the decisions have been great ones.
Yeah, miscalculation, shall we say, with that one. Richard, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck to the Bengals this weekend, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks here.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Richard.
There's Richard Skinner from WKRC. I was going to say, how's Dr. Johnny Fever? Probably would have been like, who the hell is he? Let's go to Pittsburgh now, where the Steelers sit at first place at 6-2. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. He's with the Associated Press. Let's welcome back Will Graves. Will, good morning. Appreciate your time as always. And we're sitting here talking about Pittsburgh at 6-2. It's a Pittsburgh team that benched their quarterback after a 4-2 start. Now they seem to be rejuvenated. And Najee Harris is running like he was at Alabama. What in the hell is going on with this Pittsburgh offense all of a sudden?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure last time I was on, I was like, I'm not so sure about Russ. I would stick with Justin, because I said that pretty much to everybody. And I think all of us that said that sort of look like idiots. You know, he has he looks good. Russell brings a dimension. They talked about this for weeks. If Russ gets in there, could unlock the deep ball, and then all of a sudden the running game's going to open up, and that's almost exactly what's happened. I mean, that is almost to a T, that's exactly what's happened. They are, you know, and it's weird, too. Like, we literally just got out of the locker room a couple minutes ago, and a lot of the guys are talking that, you know, 6-2, but even they know that they need to be better to get to the places that they want to go. I mean, that was the theory behind Mike Tease making that decision to bench Justin Fields. It wasn't good enough. You know, the message that's been sent from literally the end of last season was we can't just be good enough to try to get in the playoffs and lose in the first round. We have to do things we don't normally do to get to a place that we haven't been in a while. And, you know, benching a quarterback who's 4-2 in favor of a 35-year-old guy who hasn't played much, hadn't played at all really in the last 10 months and missed most of camp and sat the first 6 weeks of the season. I mean, that's a little bold move. And, you know, it's worked off. So it's worked out. Now, obviously, there are things to work on in the second half of the schedule. The moment the schedule came out, it was always like, well, those last 9 weeks are going to decide the season. And, you know, here we are, you know, the day before Halloween, and that's still the case.
Hey, Will, what are the Ravens getting with Deontay Johnson?
Good route runner. And, you know, it's weird. I didn't find him to be a bad guy with us or necessarily in the locker room, but I mean, obviously he had some disagreements with some teammates over the years. He's a competitive guy, you know, and, the knock on him here is that, you know, when he would catch the ball, he would, you know, almost reflexively run backwards two steps almost there. I mean, like, I'm serious. Whether it was a crossing pattern or a little wide receiver, you know, screen or whatever, like his default move was always kind of going backwards. But he's an elite route runner who has maximized his talent. I mean, I think when they drafted him, at, you know, in the third round, they had modest hopes. They didn't view him as a, I don't think they necessarily thought he was going to be a 100 catch guy, which he, you know, became, you know, when his 1 year with Ben full time. So like, you know, I really think that he's not a downfield guy. You know, you don't send him on a, but he's, if it's third and seven and you need 12 yards, I would certainly be comfortable throwing the ball to him.
Now, Will, talk about my buddy Danny Smith's special teams, because they've been pretty good this year for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, Danny was just joking with us that he's basically getting elder abuse the way the guys mob him after they make a play every week. But, I mean, it is pretty consistent. They have developed into – I mean, look, they blocked the kicks in three straight games, and then they got a punt return for a touchdown, you know, last week against the Giants. It really sort of brought them to life because they were just sort of scuffling through that game. And if you watch that, I mean, like, it was, you know, and anytime you see, you know, Kevin Austin, you know, catches the ball to, you know, on the right side of the field and runs all the way to the left. And how many times, 98 times out of 100, when that happens, there's an illegal block, right? Because, you know, guys are turning around and trying to run, and then they just get shoved by, you know, a guy on the return team. And you watch the way that the Steelers guys, from Jeremiah Moon to Michael Pruitt on down, the way they sort of turned, you know, like they knew the details, right? And they sort of, you know, there's a word I can't say on the radio, but they butt blocked them, basically. They basically, like, boxed them out, you know, the pursuit guys, and Calvin had a lane down the sideline. It's really, that's a testament to the guys absorbing what Danny's teaching. And look, this is a, you know, you can sort of look at the schedule and say, well, they haven't really, you know, been lights out, and, you know, they haven't been, you know, they don't look great. They don't look like Detroit. They don't look like Buffalo when they play. But they look pretty good, but they realize that there is sort of more meat on the bone, and they have to excel at all three levels, I think, because Russ is good. But I mean, at some point I don't see them winning the division or getting home field throughout the playoffs. So you're going to have to be able to go on the road and win. And I think for that to happen, all three phases need to, you know, be thriving. And I think if you look at the arc of where they're going, it's certainly on an upward trajectory in all three parts of the game.
Will Graves covers the Steelers in the NFL for the Associated Press. Yes or no question, Will Graves, Ravens Steelers, November 17. We getting flexed?
God, I hope not, man. I just had like a set of three night games in 8 days, but getting home at 2:33 in the morning sucks. So my hope is, you know, maybe to 4 o'clock, 4:25 would be fine. But man, I think we're all on the beat. We're just praying for no more night home games, because it's just brutal.
Oh, we feel your pain on that one, Will Graves. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you before that Steelers matchup in a couple of weeks here.
All right, take care.
There's Will Graves, everybody. First place Steelers, 6-2, going into their bye week. Then they got Washington coming out of that. We'll come back, reset the show for you. News from the Nats coming up top of the hour. It's got that dough, hopefully at 12:15, buy or sell. And we'll talk World Series with Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague on Baltimore baseball tonight. Yankees, they stay alive, but for how long? 3-1, Yankees are in it. 11-4 last night after scoring 7 runs in the first 3 games combined. They get fired up in a big way. Is it enough to salvage the series? We'll talk about that and more. Film study of the Ravens offense. Some interesting play calling from Todd Monken.
Yeah,
shall
I thought
we
so
say.
Too. Yeah.
And we'll get in. And speaking of drops, they had a couple of those on offense as well. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw. How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. Yeah, Bob went off earlier in the show about those two Yankees fans.
Yeah, if I could cuss, I'd be blah, 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 blah.
Well, very appropriate tirade. ESPN's got a nice article here about the whole situation. They've identified the two guys, obviously both being adults. Apparently, after they were escorted out of Yankee Stadium, both, I guess, were reached out to by ESPN. They said they were told by Yankee Stadium staff they would be allowed back for Game 5 if they had tickets for tonight. ESPN reached out to the Yankees to confirm that. They never responded, but according to the two guys who got kicked out, they are allowed back.
Wouldn't shock me. Said it earlier, just tuning into the show. Jeffrey Mayer, even more egregious than that a-hole last night. He put his hand, it was an out. Instead of 3-2 Orioles, 1-out bottom of the 8th, Game 1 of the ALCS, it's 3-3 tie ballgame. Richie Garcia, if I could cuss, I'd really be unloading on him, and I'd tell him to his face if I ever saw him. He didn't have the balls to make the call. He was scared. He was intimidated. It was insane. But Jeffrey Mayer was sitting behind home plate the next day. the next day. Luckily, the Orioles won it, the only win. But yeah, Exhibit A, why most people hate the Yankees. It is their fans are douches. They come down to Baltimore and any other city. They infiltrate the stadium. They don't have any respect. They show no class. Mantle never had a name on the back of his jersey. Let's go F yourself. Let's go Dodgers, who I don't even care about. Now, got me rooting for them like they're the Orioles.
So the guy who initially grabbed the glove, he's a season ticket holder, said he knew he would be in trouble, but chose to grab an open bets glove nonetheless, telling ESPN that he and his friend often discuss this exact scenario. If a foul ball comes their way, they're going to do whatever they can to help their team.
Well, it's still going to be an out. Yeah. You know, I mean,
it'll help nothing.
Yeah, it's foul territory.
Yeah.
38 years old was the guy who grabbed it, by the way.
Well, it was actually in fair territory, because if it's a foul ball, all bets are off. Bartman.
True.
Yeah. He caught the ball, or it wouldn't have been fan interference, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
Yeah, I buy it.
If it's a foul ball, it's all bets are off. But I think he, no pun intended, he caught it, and then he tried, like, pry for, it was like the jaws of life. I'm trying to get that ball out of there. His glove, too. Yeah, it was wild. You just watch it, you're like, what the hell's going on here? We do live in bizarre world these times. Remember the movie Idiocracy?
Mm-hmm.
We're living in Idiocracy.
That's a documentary.
And it's just not sports related anymore. We have time for the fun house?
We got to do a giveaway. It's Wise Wednesday. Okay. We got time for that.
I feel stupid, not wise. But Wise makes you feel wise.
Wise is always deals. A good option. I got a $25 gift card to give away to Wise Market right now. If you're caller number 4 at 410-583-1057, again, $25 gift card to Wise Markets.
Yeah, only a matter of time before we start watering the crops with Gatorade and all. And blowing up our own cards. It's Vinny at 8101057. The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest. We'll count that dough midweek style, buy or sell, and then preview World Series Game 5 with Jim Hunter. And talk about the Yankees staying alive. It's Jack Flaherty. Did not have a great Oriole tenure. Could be a Dodger hero tonight against Gerrit Cole.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.